And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 132 for September 14th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like All Beer Inside, NFL Easy Picks, and the Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before you get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 106 episodes in a row, Mr. Heavyset.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
Howdy.
And we've got Kevbo Trek.
That's my line.
Ah, it didn't work, the soundbite. Oh, well.
That's my line. Yeah, there's no
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
That's your new soundbite. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
We got a shit ton of stories, so I'm just going to lay them out, and then you're going to pick them. I've got six or seven here. All right, so, Heavy, your choices are Captain Marvel may have front-runner lead, Terminator Genesis gets sequel. Here is what one star says. Why Emily Blunt is hesitant about making Edge of Tomorrow 2. Where to Invade Next trailer. Watch Michael Moore take on military aggression. Ronda Rousey starring in Roadhouse remake. King Kong and Godzilla to join together. Heavy set. What are you picking this week?
Roadhouse.
Ronda Rousey is stepping into the shoes of the late Patrick Swayze, and we've got the details right now on Clever Newsfeed. Ronda Rousey is getting ready to star in the 80s cult classic remake of Roadhouse. Variety reports that Rousey will take over the role made famous by Patrick Swayze, playing a bouncer who's hired to clean up a rowdy bar and help turn it into a profitable hotspot. The original film was a modest hit when released in 1989, earning around $30 million on a budget of around $17 million, but has since earned cult status. The Boy Next Door director, Rob Cohen, was previously attached to helm the remake, but no word if that's still the case. MGM is currently shopping the project to writers, with production expected to begin sometime next year for a likely 2017 release. According to sources, Rousey wanted to be respectful of Swayze's legacy and reached out to his widow, Lisa Niemi, for her blessing before agreeing to sign on, which Niemi reportedly gladly gave. The Roadhouse remake will be one of several projects Rousey has coming up. She's set to star opposite Mark Wahlberg in next year's Mile 22, which begins production in February, and recently made a deal with Paramount to star in a biopic of her life based on her memoir, My Fight, Your Fight. She's also attached to star as a skilled agent attempting to stop a terrorist attack in Warner Brothers' The Athena Project. Rousey's acting career has exploded recently thanks to a part in last year's The Expendables 3 and small roles in this year's Furious 7 and Entourage. She recently has been campaigning to take on the role of Captain Marvel in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who's set to get her own film in 2018. So we have to ask, do you think Ronda Rousey is a good choice to take over for Patrick Swayze in the Roadhouse movie?
I agree. I think it's a great idea. Rousey's a really hot ticket right now. She's dominating MMA. And at the end of the day, she pretty much has nobody else to fight where it looks like it's believable that she's going to actually win. So at one point, people are going to get, I don't know, are they going to get sick of watching her fights and stuff like that? Regardless, she's got a big movie career that's going to happen. Acting, you don't really need a lot of acting when you're an ass kicker. I mean, look at all the previous iterations. More on the male side, I think it's cool that we have a dominant female, a fighter who can literally kick ass and take names. Is a great role model for little girls. I think instead of I remember seeing a clip, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's called like DNB, Do Nothing Bitch. And she says, like, I ain't a do nothing bitch to have a certain physique to fuck millionaires. I have a physique to kick ass. So I love this girl. I think she's awesome. I love, you know, watching her 30-second fights. I don't pay for them because they're 30-second fights. But I definitely can see her do well in the cinema world, especially with all the hype she's got right now. I think it's great she's cashing in on it. Heavy sets, Gear, thoughts?
Like, I'm not really big into MMA, but right now, it's hands down, she is the most popular women's athlete in the world. Not just MMA, but just in the world. I think the closest behind her is Serena Williams, and you have to be into tennis. But everybody knows who she is, but I still think that's a distant second.
Oh, by far, leaps and bounds, yeah.
Yeah, and Rousey, I'm thinking the next couple of years, she's going to retire. It's almost evident to happen.
She's going to make more doing this kind of stuff than the actual fighting.
Well, there's that, and also that we know that she has WWE on the table as well. I highly think that she could very well be the next Rock in WWE, but come in with no experience whatsoever and just work a handful of matches in a couple of years. I think that she's like a WrestleMania draw to throw her against somebody, but just that's out there. And on top of movies and everything, she made her mark in MMA, and this is very, very fitting for her, and I think just the beginning of a lot to come. And I think if all these movies do well, I wouldn't be surprised if she does get cast as
Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
tell Zool I said hi too. I hear her in the background.
Well, I had to turn off the fan, and she's upset.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay, Kebo Trek, what do you think of this Ronda Rousey phenomenon? Do you think she could do the Captain Marvel character? What do you think about her doing the Roadhouse? I think it's cool that it's going to a female ass kicker. I think it'll freshen up the part anyways.
Yeah, definitely. I'm 100% okay with her taking a role. Doesn't matter if it's male or female, because she's believable as like a bounce. Like it's not like something where it's like a Kristen Stewart suddenly a bouncer and like you're not going to believe it. You believe she can do whatever Patrick Swayze did in the original. In terms of her being a movie star, absolutely. I mean, eventually, like, I guess she's not really being challenged, but maybe she's not going to want to train, you know, six, however long for a fight and kind of do like The Rock where you transition to easier kind of role. Like, I mean, it's easier to be a movie star than be, you know, be a fighter. And even if necessarily the opponents aren't that strong. And I mean, we're kind of devoid of really those female action stars now. You know, you try to think of who is there really. There's Kate Beckinsale sometimes. There's Mila Jovovich sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's
debatable.
Not. Yeah, that's the thing. There's not really that female ass kicker. And I think she absolutely would fit the role of it. And I think we are going to eventually see her transition to becoming a full-time movie star. Maybe she'll have one or two matches in the WWE, but I don't see that being any kind of sustained thing.
It goes something to say, too, like, what episode number did we start talking about the female Expendables?
Oh, geez, yeah, that was a while ago.
And Rousey wasn't one of those names that was brought up. Now she's a name that is going to be brought up if we ever get to that.
Oh, yeah, she's the only one, you would think. I mean, Gina Carano, yeah, but there's nobody touching Rousey. And it's funny, nobody mentioned anything about acting ability, but this whole, like, segment. It doesn't matter. It's she'll figure it out, I guess. I mean, because it's not. Well, it's about the ass kicking first, right? Then the acting comes second.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've seen the Expendables that she was in. I don't know how that came across or any of the other movies she was in. I just got my hands on a copy of Entourage, and I'm planning to watch that. But then again, she's playing herself, so there's not really much acting there. So
yeah.
But I've never heard anybody complain about her acting. She seems to be a very charismatic person. Granted, I'm not the biggest fan. Only because I got a friend in her division, so I kind of look down on her about that. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, she's one of those people I always hear a lot of, like, interesting things about when it comes to her as a person. And it just doesn't surprise me that she could possibly translate well into acting.
Well, I'm curious to see what the future holds for Ronda Rousey. Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
Just before that, but for reference, I can take Rousey, and I would take her in 30 seconds. But anyway, okay, moving on. I'm going to discuss...
Shut the fuck up, Donnie!
No, I will take her. She's a woman, I'm a man. I will take her.
Shut up!
I'm going to discuss King Kong and Godzilla.
All right, cool.
Well, this is huge news. Get it? Deadline is reporting that Legendary Pictures has just taken their upcoming film, Kong Skull Island, out of Universal Studios and over to Warner Brothers. The outlet claims that the reason for the move is that Legendary wants to have King Kong and Godzilla under the same studio to open the way for a future King Kong versus Godzilla movie. The move to Warner Brothers won't change Kong's release date of March 10th, 2017. With the sequel to Gareth Edwards' Godzilla planned for June 8th of 2018. What do you think of this move by Legendary, and are we actually going to see a Kong versus Godzilla film?
Kebbo.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to happen, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of like those mashups that, you know, you always want to see, and, you know, sometimes they're never going to happen. But I mean, literally, we look at Spider-Man. We were all excited for Spider-Man to be in the Marvel universe, even though it's a Marvel property. And, you know, you have your Alien versus Predator. And so I think this is going to be a really fun movie. And I was on record as really loving Pacific Rim. You know,
Atlantic Rim, right? Pacific Rim?
I don't get it.
There was
Oh God! Asylum.
Asylum. Yeah, they did Atlantic. I forgot.
That's probably why I didn't know.
on a Supergrim was a piece of shit.
On a side note, when I was looking for my article, there was a news story on Pacific Rim sequel being delayed.
Yeah, it's not like I liked Pacific Rim. Like, it was basically just watching like giant robots versus monsters for 2 hours, and this is kind of a similar thing, but except, you know, two of the most famous creatures or whatever, and I think it's going to be a movie. It's not going to be an Oscar movie, but it's just going to be something where you turn off your brain for a couple hours and you watch King Kong and Godzilla go at it.
My question for you, though, because you have a certain demographic. Will this resonate with the general audience in 2015 or 2020 when it comes out?
I mean, that's a good question. Godzilla did good enough. I think this is a movie that we would see do a lot better on the foreign market. Like, I'm not necessarily expecting $200 million in the domestic market, but I think there's still enough fans of Godzilla, at least. And just seeing these two creatures go at it, I think it'll make a profit. It'll do well enough for the studio. It's not going to be a massive hit, like kind of like Pacific Rim. It made enough money, made a bit of a profit, but it wasn't some crazy hit. And I think we're going to see something similar with this.
All right. This week, I want to talk about some Michael Moore.
USA! Yeah!
I have invaded your country to steal your great idea.
Unbelievable.
Is this the great big penis competition?
I love this. I would have ketchup on everything.
Papa, mangeons dans un restaurant ce soir? Oui, papa, dis-nous un deal.
Excellent today. May demander à maman d'abord.
I know the party part of what's what. Pourquoi pas, maman? Voilà le dîner.
I'm going to just plant the American flag right here in your living room. is that okay?
That's awesome. Doesn't matter if you love him or loathe him, any new Michael Moore film is going to get your attention. Over the years, the portly filmmaker has examined gun control, healthcare, and George W. Bush all to high level of success. For his new film, Where to Invade Next, he's covering a variety of topics comparing different countries' approaches to military aggression, education, prison, healthcare, work weeks, and more. It's also believed to be his funniest film to date, and you can check out the first trailer, which we just played. I've always been a huge fan of Michael Moore. He's very polarizing. You either love him or you hate him. There's no in-between for him. And you can't take his thing as 100% literal because he is a bit biased, although he does provide backing for all of his facts in his films if you check his website and stuff. But regardless of whether you agree with him or not, I find he's extremely entertaining. I love his brand of documentary filmmaking, and I'm going to be first day for this. Kebbo, your thoughts?
I've loved most of his movies. I've cooled off a bit on him. I'm not even sure why. I think sometimes
You haven't seen him in a while, too, eh, by the way? So
yeah,
it's been
a while. It's been a while. But I don't know, sometimes I find he stirs stuff up just to stir. Like, I don't know.
I disagree with that. I think he brings it to people's attention and allows them to decide for themselves. Just like Trump, you know, you might fucking hate the guy, you might love him, but he did bring the idea of illegal immigration to people's consciousness. And I think as a filmmaker, that's what his job is to bring out a topic. He has his opinion on it. He'll push it. And then you figure out for yourself whether you agree or not.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's true. And like I said, I've seen pretty much all his movies. I've liked them all. And, you know, I'll definitely be checking this out. And there's no denying he's pretty much the most successful documentary filmmaker in history. So if nothing else, it'll be another conversation starter. I guess we'll see more what the movie's about, and I'll probably really enjoy it.
Heavy, as the resident American on the panel, what are your thoughts on Michael Moore?
So on him. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I agree with him, but I've only ever watched Fahrenheit 9/11, which I really like, which I own on DVD, I believe. But that's the only thing I've ever really watched of his.
He's got a great one on just like corporatocracy. If I don't know if that's a word for capitalism, you're socialist, you're fucking a commie pig. And so he kind of attacks that. He attacks the healthcare industry in the States as well.
Was that his last one, Sicko?
No, that was the one before Democracy, a Love Story.
I would start from the beginning with him. This was like you kind of get it before he got big. Like if you want to really like start with Roger and Me. And
yeah, Roger and Me was great.
Yeah,
I own that actually.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's before he really started to blow up. So I would, you know, start there, and you're gonna get, I guess, maybe a bit more grounded or a bit more grassroots kind of movie before like he blew up with Bowling with Columbine. So I would definitely start there and just work your way up, because his movies are great and they do get you thinking, even if they only necessarily bring one point of view to the topic.
Would it be safe to say that he blew up with Bowling for Columbine, but Fahrenheit 9/11 took it like to the next level after that? Because I remember Bowling for Columbine being big, but I just remember Fahrenheit 9/11 being huge.
I think Bowling for Columbine got it in America's consciousness, and the timing with Bush and how he won the election, I think it really sparked the fuse. It just fucking lit up and it went crazy. He just threw gasoline on the fire to the topic, and the fact that Bush was trying to get it stopped in theaters. I don't know if that was true or not, but I heard that he was trying to stop the movie from playing, which made it more of a success, in my opinion, because then if you tell people not to watch something, they're going to want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. On a side note, when it comes to some relatable topic, I wish I could remember what documentary it was, but right around that time, there was an HBO documentary, because I don't remember going on theaters. I just remember being strictly on HBO right after the 2004 election. I think it came out like late 2005, where it talked about how unreliable the electronic voting systems are and how easily manipulative. I wish I could find that one. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I don't want to branch off topic too much, but why can't you just print the paper receipt to double check, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Not that I'm shitting on electronic voting systems, but there's got to be checks and balances. Okay, news this week. Thank you very much, everybody, for your stories. Let's move on to the box office for this week. Break it down. Okay, topping in at number one was The Perfect Guy at $26.7 million. Kind of blew us all away. Unfortunately, I don't have the clip from last week, but I think we're all in around the $7 to $8 million range. So that really surprised me. 26.7, Jesus Christ. I think it's just the timing of there's nothing really out. Like yeah, like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Ant-Man and fucking Straight Outta Compton and Mission Impossible has been out for 7-8 weeks now, so there's really nothing else. And but I thought it'd be doing around 10, fucking 26 million. The Visit as well did really good. It did 25 million. Wasn't this the horror movie about the grandparents or something?
Oh, you know, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, yeah, whatever reason, we didn't even discuss it last week. And it had a budget of $5 million, and it did $25 million. So I guess it hopefully gets Shyamalan back on the – well, actually, no. Shyamalan's a piece of shit.
No.
But regardless if you want it to or not, it gets him back on the map. War Room came in at third place with $7.4 million. continuing to do well on a budget of $3 million, has done $39 million domestically. A Walk in the Woods, fourth place, $4.6 million total domestic at $19 million. Mission Impossible continues to do pretty well, only a 42% drop, made another $4.1 million for a total domestic gross of $188 million. Straight Outta Compton, $4 million, down 52%, total domestic of $155 million. Seventh place, No Escape, $2.8 million, total of $24 million domestically. The Transporter refueled, $2.7 million with a total domestic of $13 million. Absolute abysmal fucking revamp of the franchise with a no-name in the lead role. Yeah, this Transporter thing is probably going to be either a straight-to-DVD series or dead. 90 Minutes in Heaven debuted with $2.1 million, so I guess not all of the pro-Jesus movies did well. Oversaturated market, I suppose. Rounding off the top 10.
Did we put down numbers for that one?
Yeah, it was in the $6 to $7 million range.
Damn, so one went way over, one other one way up.
Yeah. This box office, like, it's very, very hard to predict, because they're all kind of like no-name movies and low budgets, and so you don't know what's gonna stick or not. And in 10th place, Cayo con Muchos Huevos, $1.9 million total domestic of $6.6 million. Upcoming movies for this week. We actually have a decent one. You know, I was shitting on the movies that were coming out, saying, oh, there's nothing good out. There's actually a Johnny Depp movie that looks pretty good. I don't know if it's going to be opening day or whatever. It might be a cheapy Tuesday for me. This movie is called Black Mass. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
What did you marinate the steak in? Because it's out of this world. You're killing me with
it. No.
It's a family secret.
Oh. Come on. You gotta tell me that. What's the secret? Come on. You could do it. Come on. That is one of the best goddamn steaks I ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. Ever. What's the family secret recipe?
It's ground garlic. A little bit of soy.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I thought it was a family secret.
It's your recipe.
No. No. You said to me, this is a family secret. And you gave it up to me, boom. Just like that. You spill the secret family recipe today. Maybe you spill a little some about me tomorrow.
Hmm? I was just saying that.
You were just saying. Just saying gets people sent away. Just saying. Got me a 9-year stretch in Alcatraz. You understand? So, just saying could get you buried real quick. Look at his face.
You know, it's a very effective trailer. It's only one scene of, this is a great fucking steak. Like, what is it? And could the music and the acting just bring it up to a fucking whole new level? I think this is going to be a really good performance by Johnny Depp. You know, he was in this fucking atrocious performance with Kevin Smith's fucking Tusk and all this shit. He's been doing pretty bad. Mordecai, I think, was the last one he was in. It's terrible. But he's really busting his acting chops out, playing James Whitey Bulger, an Irish mobster from the 70s. You know, it's not going to be crazy fucking thing, but it's a slow crime drama. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in it as well. Dakota Johnson's in it, probably covered instead of 50 Shades of Grey. But, I mean, you got a pretty good cast here, pretty good acting chops. It's definitely on my radar. It's probably going to be a cheapy Tuesday for me. I'm totally in for it. Now, I think it's going to make 15. Heavy set. Skier thoughts.
Yeah, I seen the trailer the other day, and I don't know, just first time around, just didn't get me. I'm probably going to be a nay on this one, but I think I'll go with the unpredictable box office. I'm going to go 21.
Kev, I don't know if you got a chance to hear that trailer because you dropped off there, but it looked like a really cool acting performance. Big, big names here. Johnny Depp, Benedict Cumberbatch. He's playing a 70s mobster. The acting looks really good. What are your thoughts on this and how much is it going to make?
I'm not sure I'd see it. If I did, it would be a cheapy Tuesday. And I actually don't think it's going to do that well. I've been kind of underestimating movies a little bit, which Straight Outta Compton and The Perfect Guy and all that, but I don't know, I feel Depp's kind of been in a struggle. I don't see this movie really helping. I'm going to say $11 million.
I think this is going to rejuvenate his career. The performance in the trailer really sold me. I hope it does, because the guy's a good actor, man. But he's just had a string of bad luck. And not necessarily his fault, really, too. It's just the projects he's picked haven't done that great. Okay, also out this week, mass release, is second iteration of Maze Runner called The Scorched Trials. We will play that trailer as well and get our thoughts.
Thomas, it's okay.
Come on! Let's go! We gotta go!
The world outside's hanging on by a very thin thread. It's only a matter of time before the flare virus wipes the rest of us out. This entire facility is designed to keep you safe.
Where are they taking her?
They're hiding something. These people are not who they say they are.
Thomas, what did you see?
We never escaped. He's wicked. It's all just been part of their plan.
I really only have one question. Whose side are you on?
Thomas! The maze is one thing, but you kids wouldn't last one day out in the scorch.
There's something inside of us that we could want, so we can't let them find us.
You guys don't have to come with me.
I know we can make it.
Come out of the scorch in a long time. Let's go! Go!
Go, go!
All those kids that were left behind, I don't want to end up like that.
Hello, Thomas.
You know me?
A lot of our friends died for us to get this far, so we can't give up.
This is about everyone Wicked's ever taken. They'll never stop. So I'm gonna stop them.
Don't you want to know why this all happened? You're so close to the truth.
Maze Runner, Scorched Trials. Heavy set, your thoughts first.
I am a so-so on this one. I want to see it only because I have seen the first one, but I want the book series is what gets me. This is a three-part book series. I can't even get through all the way the first audiobook because the guy reading it just for some reason just annoys the piss out of me, where it just gets boring. So this is a so-so yay for me, but I think this will do 35.
I believe the opening of the first one was around that number, around 32-ish. Total domestic of 100, the first one. I'm not sure how this is going to do. Like you said, it's the second iteration of three books. Usually the sequel will do better, and I don't think there's a lot of competition. So I'm going to aim really high here, and I'm going to say 45. Damn. I think it's going to do really well this week. Kebbo, your thought? But I'm a nay.
And the last one is going to be called The Death Cure.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
There you go. Kebbo.
Well, I'm a nay for the theater. I actually do want to watch the first one on Netflix, so I'll eventually get to that, and I probably will eventually watch this when it gets on Netflix as well. Box office, I'm not really sold on it. Again, maybe I'm going a little low, but I'm going to say $24 million.
Yeah, I think you're way off there. I think you're way fucking, you're not giving this franchise justice, even though I don't want to see it because I don't have a huge interest in it. Maybe if I saw the first one first. But I think you're underestimating big time. And I'll put money on that you're underestimating.
I could very well be, but I don't know. I'm not sold on this sequel doing better than the original.
With no competition, man, I think I'm aiming low with my mid-40s prediction. But we'll see. We shall see. Okay, DVDs this week.
DVD release.
for release on Tuesday, September 15th, Furious 7. So if you want to see an absolute crazy fucking action movie with a big ass cast, and you've seen the first six, or even if you haven't seen the first six, it's pretty much the same thing, but it's very entertaining. I definitely recommend you rent or download Furious 7. Is that it? Yeah, pretty much. The rest is all TV stuff. Furious 7 is going to be your big DVD rental for this week. All right, let's end the show with some feedback and plugs. Start with the feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Okay, this comes from Kata. I hate Tropic Thunder. Such a boring movie. For Kata, you know what? It wasn't the greatest movie, but there were great parts in it. In my opinion, more Downey. You know, people found Jack Black annoying because Jack Black plays Jack Black in every movie. His part was fine, but I loved Downey's part in it. And I thought there was I could chip out parts of the movie that I really enjoyed, including the Tom Cruise fucking agent or whatever. I thought that was super funny. So for me, I agree. It wasn't the greatest movie, but there were good parts. Heavyset, do you agree?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was very memorable. Not like your best movie film-wise, but I think very entertaining.
Kebo.
I wasn't a fan of it. I'm mostly tired of Jack Black and Ben Stiller and playing the same characters every movie. And yeah, Downey was good in it, but I didn't really laugh at it too much.
You're a very depressed person. Mop, at Carnage 0228, old cartoons weren't full of potty humor. Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead, South Park. Yeah, he kind of... I wish Carnage were on this week so we can talk about it. I don't remember him saying that. I forget which episode he mentioned that. Was it two episodes ago?
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, but Mop just threw fucking three ideas things in your face. He threw three examples of potty. Yeah, it's absolute fucking potty humor. And I enjoy all three of those, actually. There was a time where I was obsessed with Ren and Stimpy, and for whatever reason, I just stopped watching. But it was definitely on my radar at one point. This comes from Mop as well. Adultmovies.net. You do know we can't hear the drilling and wouldn't know about it if you didn't say anything. Yeah, actually, the drilling did pretty much stop a couple minutes after I started recording. But I like to mention it anyways. And I do post edit a lot. I usually get rid of all the background noise if I can. But just as out of respect, I guess, for the listeners, I added in. But he does mention as well, hashtag OSATM, adultmovies.net. Okay, I'll take what I said back before. Which one of you lives in the ghetto? I heard sirens last week. And I think that's Kevbo. So what the fuck's going on with the ghetto there? Yeah, you got sirens going on.
That's why I said Big Papa Pump Your Hookup or something. I made a Scott Steiner reference.
Yeah, that was definitely me. That's what happens when you do it outside.
Is the Canadian ghetto really bad, though?
No, not really. They got a bunch of Tim Hortons and stuff.
Give me your wallet, please.
Yeah. Blake, can you please give me your wallet? What's going on about that? All right, thanks for the plug. Oh, wait, we have an email. All right, this comes from Piper the DJ. What is up, OSATM? Everything on any screen, whether it be the evening news all the way to the multi-million dollar movies, is utilizing more and more graphic content. Some of this content can be staged and with the use of multiple cameras, get some footage for editing. See second Matrix movie, specifically the highway scene. More often than not, green screen graphics are becoming very commonplace. See every weather person on the news as well as some of the over-the-top graphics like someone walking through the bowels of hell. This week, I asked the following. What are your thoughts on special effects / graphics use in movies? And is there a point, does it get to a point where there are too many special effects / graphics? Please give examples. Piper the DJ. We'll start with you, Kev. Yeah, what are your thoughts on special effects and are there too many?
Yes and no. It depends on the movie. The classic example I've used probably about 10 times on the show is the second Star Wars trilogy, where I said over and over that George Lucas got a boner with a CGI. You know, that's always my prime example of a movie that has too much CGI, and it takes away from the movie, it takes away from the heart of the movie, kind of takes you out of the movie. That's my prime example. Really, it depends on the movie. Like most sci-fi movies, you're going to have a lot of CGI. I'm okay with that. If I have an action, I'm trying to think, there's a couple action movies that use CGI. I can't remember what they were. Like, if I'm watching an action movie, like, you know, The Expendables or whatever, or something like that, I don't want to see CGI in it. I want to see the traditional
practical effects
and special effects and stuff like that. Like, I don't want explosions to be, you know, like car explosions or whatever, to be CGI. I want it to be practical effects. And there's a few movies I can't think of them offhand where I think they use special effects. And it's the same. I know Carp had the same complaint with horror movies when they were, instead of using the practical effects, they were using CGI. So I think it depends on the movie. You look at something like Sin City, no problem with the whole movie being in front of a green screen. 300, no problem. That's what they were going for. You have something like Star Wars. You have something like action movies. No, I don't want to see CGI in those. Like, well, sorry, for Star Wars, obviously there's going to be CGI, but I don't want to see it to the, you know, I still want to see the puppets. I still want to see the practical effects. If I see an action movie, I want to see practical effects. So really, it's on a movie to movie basis for me.
Have you said, let's get your thoughts.
I kind of agree with Kevbo. It's some of these movies, it doesn't bother me. I think it just may, if it looks real, then it's doing its job. But there is a handful of ones that it just doesn't look real at all, or just doesn't fit with the movie. And I think that's where you run into the big problem. I do think practical effects are nice, but it's gotten to the point where I think some CGI just might be cheaper. I'm not 100% sure. I think it depends on what you're trying to do. But I think that's one reason why a lot of people like the Christopher Nolan Batman series, because there was a lot of practical effects. Like, one of my favorite ones was the flipping of the semi truck. And that was even before I liked it, before I used a truck driver, because I watched the making of it, and like they flipped an actual semi, and like that's so rare.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I agree with Kevin in this case too. You get like something like Die Another Day. Like, that was fucking terrible, man.
That was horrible. You can tell. You know what I mean? Like, so that was bad. Fucking,
yeah, and that's an action movie. That should not be CGI. I agree. Action movies, don't fucking do it. There's some complicated things like the Marvel movies and fucking Spider-Man and stuff. You can't have Spider-Man swinging from, like, it's not going to happen. There's some shit that's impossible to fucking do in real life. You CGI that stuff. I agree. And practical effects for horror movies. Again, I'm not a fan of horror movies, but blood, CGI blood or whatever, that's fucking stupid. Like, just use the squibs. That's just lazy. For me, like, there's times where it's appropriate, and there's times where it's just being fucking lazy, or maybe just they're being cheap with, like, budgets and stuff. But I think there's more of a demand for practical now. The audience is becoming more snobbish in that regard and will shit on it. Will shit on CGI if they think it's the filmmaker being cheap or lazy, they'll crap on it. And so there's more of a demand of it, and they're going back to the practical, like the Star Wars, for example. I think that's great. So hopefully we answer your question, Piper. Thank you very much for the email. Plugs, final thoughts. We start with Mr. Heavyset.
You can go to the Trending Topics Network, and you can check out NFL Easy Picks starting right back up. We had last week's, see when this airs. We had week one last week, this will be week two coming out. And also a special this Friday on the Trending Topics Network, along with on the DSJMP, I will be on Cerebral Satire.
There you go. You, Wayne, and Ant, and the crazy.
No, Ant. I'm actually filling in for Ant.
Okay, there you go. Should make for an interesting dynamic then. Kebo Trek, where can we find you online?
You can find
Shut
me.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
What's that? Stable Wars, we're always looking for new members. You make your team, your stable, if you will. And, you know, you can pretty much beat Carp just by putting anyone together. And, yeah, that'll be it.
Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude?
So for Kebbo, Trek, and Heavy Set, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
From M. Night Shyamalan. Oh, boy, this should be good. Comes one of the best laugh-out-loud comedies of 2008. That was supposed to be a horror movie?
Plan on murdering me in my sleep.
What? No!
Wow, that didn't happen. The Happening. You loved The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. You liked parts of Signs. The Village and Lady in the Water made you say, oh. But before the violent car crash that was The Last Airbender, there was The Happening. A film about a thing that happens.
There appears to be an event happening.
They've been affected by whatever's happening.
Could this really be happening?
Why is this happening?
There's something happening in a few states.
Whatever's happening is happening to smaller and smaller populations.
Then stops happening.
Nothing happened.
It's even dumber than it sounds. Mark Wahlberg delivers a Donnie Wahlberg-level performance as Elliot Moore, a science teacher with one facial expression, who's so inquisitive, he phrases everything like a question.
The toxin? The toxin is affecting them?
Together, along with his dead-eyed wife and this silent, dead-eyed girl, they'll run from the least scary monster in film history. Gently rustling leaves. Wow. They actually found trees more boring than the ants. Experience the first movie since Groundhog Day to make suicide look kinda hilarious as trees begin to emit a toxin that makes us kill ourselves in the most convoluted ways possible in this non-mystery, non-thriller that spoils itself in the first act.
It's the plants.
Leaving you with plenty of time for awkward dialogue.
Why are you giving me one useless piece of information at a time?
We can't just stand here as uninvolved observers!
I need a second, okay? Just give me a second!
Awkward pauses.
We are gonna die here.
Whatever this is.
And not much else. Hey, what's your take on hot dogs, random person?
You know, hot dogs get a bad rap. Got a cool shape. They got protein. You like hot dogs, don't you?
Good to know. So prepare for a viewing experience that feels like The Walking Dead minus zombies plus a wind machine full of complete non sequiturs.
We're perfectly normal. One black water, keep on rolling.
And jarring shifts in tone.
That's all, we're all gonna be fine.
I got her, Julian.
Take my daughter's hand unless you mean it.
It's chasing. I knew that.
As you wait for the inevitable Shyamalan twist ending, that never comes. The twist is, there is no twist. The trees did it. Then it ends.
The event must have ended before we went out there.
Jeez.
Starring grass, ferns, bushes, leaves, plastic trees, oaks, elms. I'm not sure what kind of tree that is.
I think it's a maple.
Oh, thank you. Maples. And a mannequin. Hello? Are you okay? What the f*** is happening?
Should be more interested in science, Jake. You know why? Because your face is perfect.
Okay, seriously, what's up with this movie?
No.
Why would you keep that scene in the movie?
Why are you eyeing my lemon drink?
Who calls it a lemon drink? It's lemonade!
I suppose the kind thing for me to do is to offer you supper.
What the hell is happening right now? You meet a strange lady who's talking crazy to you, and you don't say a word to her? Then you just join her for dinner?
What? No!